From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Ole Miss, Alabama on a Saturday, 6 p.m. is the start time for that one. Kickoff inside Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Lots of content up at rebelgrove.com from the weekend. A lot of post-game coverage, a lot of Sunday content as well. We'll kind of take you through that as the show moves forward today. We'll look at lines for the week. Some surprising ones as things came out yesterday as well. So a lot of that coming up here on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember that they've got the 49-cent bottomless refills. We used to tell you about that all the time. I'm still going to tell you about that again now. You go buy a cup, you get it refilled, or you get it filled for 49 cents every single time you are at a Blue Sky location in Mississippi. So good way to quench your thirst there. Take advantage of that. And then they've also got kickoff specials this weekend. You can get 2 pounds of pork, 12 buns, and 3 sides for $30. You can get a pound of pulled pork, 6 buns for $11, 2 slabs of ribs, and 2 sides for $30. Pretty good value there because that's quart-sized sides. And the field goal, they call it, it's 3 slabs of ribs for $33. So take advantage of those in the Grove this weekend. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. No hassle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can chop it around, or you can do what I did, which is let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great Ford product. You get phenomenal service after the sale. I mean, it's just above and beyond anything I've ever experienced. And they'll take great care of you. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. Give him a chance. Get a quote. Get a couple of quotes. Inquire about a couple of different vehicles. You'll be thrilled that you ultimately decide to go with Clark Ford, and we'll make you even happier. Tell Corey near the end of your deal that you heard about Clark Ford on our podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, for me, football season lasted about an hour and 40 minutes yesterday, something like that. That was fun.
I thought about you. So, Carson had soccer in Memphis in the rain yesterday morning, and I drove him up there, and his game was at 11:30. They finished about 12:45. We got in the car and drove back, and I asked Siri, who was winning the New Orleans Saints game, fully anticipating hearing that the Saints were up, and it was like 31-17 down. I was like, what the? And I immediately thought of you, and I said, bless his heart.
Well, it was funny because they go down the very first possession. I mean, score going away, just boom, 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 boom. Saints go up 7-0, and I'm getting floods of text messages from all the Saints fans and stuff. Oh, that was easy. Here we go. Rolling. And then the very first play or second play for the Bucs, Marcus Williams blows a coverage. Heard that name before.
That's never happened.
Ryan Fitzpatrick goes crazy. And
you said Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I the Saints have lost 5 straight season openers. They haven't won a season opener in 6 years. And the average quarterback in those 5 games has thrown for like 320-something yards and has like a 129 quarterback rating against the Saints in the last 5 season openers. No, they've been torched in season openers. You remember last year, Sam Bradford went crazy on them with the Vikings, and they went 0-1. Lost to New England. They were actually 0-2 last year as well. I mean, they play Cleveland next week. If they lose that one, I might just really, really give up. But
Cleveland's undefeated.
They have their best record since 2004 after 1 week, and they are a tie. They have not won a game since 2004 in the opening week. I told somebody last night, I said, you know, at one point, the Bucs were up 48-24, and had you given me that score and said, okay, just pick the team that's going to be winning, I would have lost my entire mortgage because I would have thought there's no way in the world the Saints are down in the Dome 48-24 at some point to Ryan Fitzpatrick. But then they do what they do. They piss me off. They come back, make it a game.
Because you've given up, and then they come back.
Well, they did the same thing in the playoff game last year. Yeah. I was done. I had quit. Yeah. I was cussing to myself and moving on with my day. And so they get down 48-40, and all they have to do to get the ball back is stop Ryan Fitzpatrick on a scramble. He's not fleet of foot.
And it was third and like 16
He
or
gets
something.
Whatever it is, and he converts it, and then that was the game, and I thought, okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
The only thing more painful would have been actually scoring and then missing the two-point conversion at that point, losing 48-46. Because even overtime doesn't bother you as bad for the loss as 48-46 with a two-point conversion.
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, that'd be really, really bad. But, yeah, if you're Drew Brees today, you scored 40 points in the season opener and lost by a touchdown and an extra and a two-point conversion yesterday in the opener to a backup quarterback. Hey, look, Jameis Winston is not getting Wally pipped. It was the Saints secondary, guys. Come on. Took the Chargers got hammered, too, by the way. So, Mike,
I'll give you a hot take. I'd rather have Fitzpatrick than Winston sometimes.
Oh, I would, too.
He's a better NFL quarterback. He's got more NFL acumen to him. Yeah. Winston's a phenomenal player, but I don't trust his lack of discipline sometimes.
Well, I mean, he shows that by the fact that he's not currently on
He's not on a team.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzpatrick has made a heck of a career out of just hanging around.
He's made a heck of a career out of being a really smart, good guy.
He went to Harvard.
Yeah. And that beard is glorious.
He does have a good beard.
It is a great beard.
But, yeah, Breeze has not lost anything. Alvin Kamara is fantastic.
Oh, the Saints are going to be fine. They're going to be
fine. Did you watch that?
You just said that it happened last year. It happens to – they're going to be fine. I'll tell you this. I watched a lot of NFL yesterday.
Okay.
I was shocked at how much NFL I watched. And people can say what they want. Y'all, if y'all want to get into the anthem gate, go for it. I'll be honest. And Chase probably frustrates – this probably frustrates Chase, although I think he's the same way. I don't care. It's over by the time – that anthem thingy, I never turn on a game so I can watch the anthem.
I'm stunned the owners aren't just keeping all the teams in the locker room until the kick.
It'd be so simple. Just stay in the locker room until the anthem's over and then come bring them out. But regardless, it doesn't affect me. I watched a lot of NFL yesterday. I watched the end of Jacksonville Giants.
Yep.
I watched the end of the Saints.
Yep.
I watched a lot of Seahawks Denver. Okay. I watched a lot of Cowboys Panthers. And then I watched Bears Packers. So I'm trying on this Bears fandom.
They gave you a great start, by the way.
The first half was like, man, this is awesome. Carson's in the house. When Carson's in the room when Khalil Mack strips the ball and goes in for a touchdown, he's beating his chest going, I want a Khalil Mack jersey. I'm in. I am done. And he had to go to bed, of course. And he gets up this morning and goes, how much did we win by? And
well,
I said, who's we? And he said, the Bears. And I said,
negative one?
They were ahead late. They lost? And I said, yeah. He goes, to DeShone Kizer?
Yeah, see, Carson doesn't have the scar tissue from knowing Aaron Rodgers over the course of time. Yeah. So,
man, that guy is phenomenal. People can say, which look, and we're going to cover college football and all that. When the guy that does the tweet every Saturday that says, tell me the NFL's better than this. Okay, I will. It's different. It's a different better. It depends on your definition of the word better. If you're talking about simply the quality of the football, well, it's better.
Well,
of course, duh.
Any professional sport is better than an amateur version of that sport.
That's why I get a little frustrated sometimes with college football media. Instead of saying, man, the
college can be more fun.
Right. The unpredictability and such of this is what makes this fun to follow. Fun is more fun. It doesn't necessarily make it better. You can have a hell of a lot of fun at a greasy hamburger place. Is it better than the 5-star Michelin restaurant that can be a little stuffy? No. The food at the Michelin place is better, but maybe you're not in the mood for that night.
Yeah. Your atmosphere might be better at the diner.
That's my point. Now, I will say this about the NFL, that I will give the NFL this 1,000 times over the college game. 1,000 times, and this is the one thing I think the college game could fix.
The speed of play.
Yes. Yes. And there's no argument here. No one's going to come back. I don't even think those of you who are completely anti-NFL and love the college game more than life itself would argue that a 4-hour and 15-minute college game is good. There's got to be a way, Chase, to speed the damn thing up. The NFL, to its everlasting credit, has a 3-hour and 5-minute game. It's what it does.
There's a couple different reasons for that.
I mean, the clock and stuff, but the college game could fix that. It's just got to be a better way.
Clock doesn't stop on first downs in the NFL.
Right.
They just have a 2-minute warning.
I like it better. I'll be honest. I'm talking about time, not the game. The time.
Now, and what I think part of the reason, I don't know this, I'm simply speculating, but I think this approves, again, the quarterback play from a management standpoint is so much different in the NFL that I think 2-minute drills would be almost impossible at the college level if you didn't stop the clock somewhere for them. 99% of college quarterbacks could not execute a 2-minute drill 80 yards with no stop on first down.
It would make coaches be a little more responsible with timeout usage.
Oh, no doubt about that now. Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway. Like the Ole Miss game the other day, we looked up. You were the one. It was Chase Parham.
3 hours and something. We were in the maybe the end of the third
late
quarter.
Late third quarter, and Chase was like, it's already 6 o'clock. And I just kind of surrendered by that.
The fourth
point.
Quarter actually went pretty quick comparatively.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, we were braced for that game going till 7:15. We're going to get out of here till 11 o'clock tonight. I was anticipating being home by 9.
Well, like I saw last night, Travis Haney, who covers the Titans now because of all their lightning delays and stuff, he got out of that press box at midnight from a game that started at 1 p.m. yesterday.
Unreal.
Because of all the delays. So, okay, we'll get to college in 1 second. One more thing I have to ask you, though. You did this last night in your tweet with 10 thoughts. You put is/R. And then you the other day when you were on The Greatest Pod in the South, you corrected yourself when you were talking about Auburn. And you said Auburn is. No, sorry, Auburn are. We do not cover soccer. This is not the EPL. Auburn is. The Tigers are. A singular town is an
did
is.
Did I do that with Auburn?
Yes, you did it with Auburn.
Huh.
You got to chill out a little. We got too much soccer going on. It's making me uncomfortable.
There's a lot of soccer in my life.
I know, and you know, because soccer teams do that. It's Everton R, and it drives me insane.
Because yesterday Carson came down and he goes, "Did you see that?" And it's like 4:30. I'm like, "You're gonna have to give me a little bit more." He goes, "France and Switzerland or somebody."
Yeah. No.
And I was like, "Wait, what? Oh, they're what are they doing? Oh, it's just a friendly." And you're watching it? He loves it.
Okay.
He loves it. So he played up this week.
Oh, did he?
He did. He played up. His team played 3 games. I think they finished second. They tied all 3 games. 3 ties.
Okay.
He was playing big kids. I was proud of him. He was that was a challenge.
So why'd you do it on 10 thoughts last night?
Because I don't know 10 thoughts.
It's still one content item, though.
Yeah.
It still is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah. You don't get this because people like you. Anytime I make a grammatical mistake, I'll get emails about the stupid grammatical mistake. People don't want me to turn into the grammar police because I'll come get you. But
it does put the pressure on you to never screw up.
And so with that one, it's like, which is it?
You write thousands of words a week. You're going to screw up somewhere. It just is what it is.
And so I just said is/R.
What's the one you screw up that you have to really be careful
effect,
about?
Effect a lot.
See, I get that one right. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have issues there, and I don't have issues with who and whom like a lot of people do.
No, I don't have that one either. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I write.
Loose and lose, right? That's the one you screw up every time?
Yeah. I hate that. God, you want to, I mean.
Southern Illinois loosed to Ole Miss.
Southern Illinois. They're a bunch of loosers.
Well, they did lose. They did not cover the game on Saturday. Ole Miss covers by a touchdown. I mean, at the end of the day.
Stop.
What? They covered.
Yeah.
I mean, had it been 41-10 or something, you wouldn't have been saying anything. What's the difference?
Well, if you really want to know the difference, I'll tell you. Because there's a difference. your point's taken, but boy, it's loose. Your point's a loser.
I pulled up Pro Football Focus this morning, our partnership with Rivals.com and them. Ole Miss number 1 in the SEC in offensive grading per Pro Football Focus. They are at 58.8, which is in all green. I guess that's good. I don't know what it means.
Green's good.
Yeah, green's good. Yeah. It's really, really bright green. 58.8 for Ole Miss. The number 2 offense in the SEC is the Alabama Crimson Tide at 54.2.
Yeah.
Georgia at 3, A&M at 4, State at 5. And on down.
Oh, it's Chase. We're about to cover the second season in the last Three. Where if Ole Miss had a defense, this would be an elite team.
Ole Miss at this is graded 1 to 10 essentially in each like separate cat. What they do is they take like the categories, have them graded whatever, and then add it up to a number.
Yep.
And Ole Miss has a 2-point lead in passing over the next team. Alabama's number two in that as well, best I can tell. Sorry, A&M is second. Alabama. Receiving, Ole Miss leads in that category over A&M. A&M is second in receiving behind Ole Miss. Ole Miss is at number four in rushing. Bama's at three. LSU's at two. State's at one. Pass blocking, Ole Miss is number one by a wide margin. I wrote some of that yesterday, too, in Sunday Countdown. You can read about that at rebelgrove.com. Jordan Tamu was blitzed 16 times against Southern Illinois on Saturday, and he turned that into 11 of 15 for 200 and something yards and several touchdowns. He had a 154 passer rating when being blitzed. 158.3 is perfect. They work off the NFL system. And out of 33 total dropbacks, he was only pressured 5 times all day. It means pass protection was great. They picked up blitzes. The running backs did a pretty good job as well in pass pro. Now, it was Southern Illinois, but still, Tom was showing a lot of ability under duress. And then he also has been incredibly effective with the deep ball. I don't necessarily like the system in a lot of ways because it seems like every time that they get behind schedule, they have a tendency to just throw it deep. And now, look, it's working so far. We'll see moving forward. They're right. Getting really good matchups. Like Jordan Tamu gave the quote on Saturday that basically with his receivers, if it was one-on-one, they're open. And I get why you challenge that. You throw it out there. You let them make a play. That's as good as anything else you're doing at that.
Number one is as good of a player as I have ever seen at the college level, ever.
I mean, dude.
Going up and getting the ball in the air.
Yeah, dude's phenomenal. I mean,
that guy is something else.
But the 2 weeks throwing down the field so far, again, Texas Tech and Southern Illinois to this point, yeah. On passes that traveled more than 20 yards down the field against Southern Illinois, he was 7 of 12, and those 7 went for 306 yards and 4 touchdowns. On 12 throws more than 20 yards down the field, last week against Texas Tech, he was 4 of 6 on passes that went at least 20 yards for 164 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's been incredible to this point, throwing the ball down the football field. He has a really, really good deep ball. It's not Chad Kelly, but it's the next thing to it.
Yeah, it's not Chad, but there aren't many that have Chad.
No, Chad had
– Chad's yeah. If Chad on a baseball scale is 20 to 80, he's like 78, 79, 80.
Yeah, on the deep ball.
On the deep ball. Jordan's really good. Mm-hmm. I asked him about it on the Strategic Partners and Media Player of the Game. He said that was one of the things that people talked to him about after last season was, hey, really need to work on your deep ball. And, look, their offense is – If you're trying to find things wrong with their offense right now, you're nitpicking.
The only thing wrong with the offense, and again, it is complete nitpicking, they haven't utilized the tight end at all. They've targeted the tight end, I think, 8 times and have 1 catch to this point from a tight end standpoint. But the tight end's the 5th option right now since Braylon Sanders has emerged like he has.
I don't know, and this is on freeze. I don't know that this offensive system and this defensive system fit well.
From a complimentary standpoint.
Sometimes you look at a couple and they're walking down the street or the beach or whatever, and you go, oh, yeah, they just look right together. And sometimes you see a couple and you're like, how'd they end up together? You know what I mean? And this is one of those deals where it's like, how did this.
And now some of it is the defense has been so bad a lot of times, maybe it doesn't probably partner with anything.
Could be.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess one of the things I'm saying is that I think with the defense that's this thin, you would an offense that would fit it better would be one that could kind of grind.
Control the ball more.
Run the football. But this team, I mean, they go to the line of scrimmage and you've got one over here and you've got 14 over here and you're like, you're gonna put that dude on him one-on-one? Go.
Yeah.
And again, A.J. Brown in the air is just unbelievable. And DK Metcalf's damn good at it too. But Brown blows me away. I mean, he's exceptional. And DeMarcus Lodge didn't play Saturday.
No.
Braylon Sanders.
But Braylon went for
fantastic.
4 and 133.
He was fantastic. And Jordan's been terrific. Jordan fits this offense. And let's give Phil Longo some credit. It's a really good offensive scheme. They're very difficult to defend. I'm up there trying to kind of predict plays, and I don't get it right much.
No, they're good.
And I watch them a lot.
Yeah.
Big Nell's done a great job with that offensive front. Peeler's done a great job with the receivers. There's a leadership throughout that offense that you see. The left tackle's elite. I think the center is a damn good player. I don't care what Rawlings. Sorry, Evan Swindle. I've covered Ole Miss too long. Sean Rawlings, I think he's really good. I know maybe some of the numbers don't always bear it out, but what he gives you from a leadership standpoint, a consistency standpoint, to me is invaluable. I thought Javon Patterson's played well so far this year. I just think they've been good up front.
Well, we'll get to the defensive side in a second.
And then Scotty Phillips has given them
two straight 100-yard games.
And even though this wasn't the big 204-yard game, I mean, my mathematical equations got screwed up by Scotty, but I thought this was a better game for him.
It was more efficient. It was 15 for 107 or something. Now, he did have a 30-yard run or something like that to offset that a little bit. But
he gave them some tough yards when they needed to have tough yards.
Several first-down runs and different things. He was good. He's fine. I still don't think he has a lot of help, but they'll probably get Swinney back in a couple weeks to at least give some semblance of a veteran presence there in the backfield. So, with one game under everybody's belt, hope you used locker stockers. If you didn't, you know how much of a hassle it is to head up there on Friday, try to stock the locker or the suite for game day. So, give them a call this week. They'll still help you out. They're not going to be bitter because you didn't use them on game one. They'll be happy to have you for game two of this three-game homestand. So, the way it works, you call locker stockers. They purchase and deliver the product to your locker or suite on the Friday before the game day. Be there waiting on you. Give them a call, 662-586-1487 or info@lockerstockers.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So please visit her website, meganmphillips.com. That's meganmphillips.com or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. A lot of people will be rolling into Oxford this weekend for Alabama and Ole Miss. It's not too late to let 7 South set you up. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try them once. You'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own gear or you can rent everything from them. Bottom line, no one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And don't forget, youth basketball registration in the Oxford Park Commission has begun. It started last week. I signed Carson up on Friday. You can sign your son or daughter up also. The age range is 5 to 15. The cost is $50. Last year, OPC had more than 600 young people take part in the leagues. The numbers are expected to be similar this year, so don't miss your opportunity when it comes time to sign up for OPC Youth Basketball. It's OxfordParkCommission.com.
So, looking at the other side of things from a grading standpoint prior to this weekend against Alabama, Alabama leading the SEC by an incredibly wide margin from a defensive standpoint. 61.9 is their defensive number. Second place is Auburn at 42.3.
We're talking defense now?
Talking defense now. Mm. Ole Miss coming in at 13th. 2.5 is their number for defense. South Carolina. Poor guys. I mean, Georgia not only beat them to death, but apparently South Carolina made tons of assignment issues. Because something real quick on these grades. I need to put this on the board in a little more clear format as well. Strength of schedule is not necessarily built into this. What it's about is evaluating assignments and executing that assignment. So just because a pass was incomplete and you were covering them does not mean you get a perfect score. By the same token, if you're in the right place and you make a tackle, even if it was, you know, whatever, you're going to get a little better grade. This is about making the play you're supposed to make relative to the average college football player is essentially what this is about. So not only was South Carolina beaten, they didn't play well at all. -28.5 for defense for South Carolina. By context, because people most that listen to this podcast have watched Ole Miss play, that is 31 points worse than Ole Miss defensively from an assignment standpoint. I mean, way down.
But that was not.
Run defense by itself, they're at -13.4. Ole Miss is at 3.9. They are 16 points worse than Ole Miss in run defense to this point. So it's where South Carolina is, where Ole Miss is, Alabama at the top. Alabama, the worst special teams team in the conference. They're at -10.3 from a special team standpoint. They can't kick a lick. They missed two extra points. Ole Miss is at 10th in the league in special teams at -4.5. Vanderbilt, A&M, and Kentucky are in between Ole Miss and Alabama. Georgia leading the conference in special teams at 7.7. So there's your PFF rundown of where – the SEC teams are doing from an executing assignments standpoint.
Probably wasn't a happy team coaches meeting room for Boom when they looked at that film.
Oh, dude. If it's that bad?
Oof.
Means you're out of – because what it does is it shows you you're a little out of place anyway, and then because of the level of competition, that becomes a catastrophic play because they take it the distance or they turn it into some max gain. Whereas, you know, they probably have played very similar to Ole Miss. Ole Miss has just played Tech and Southern Illinois that didn't have the team speed to turn that 4-yard gain into that 16-yard gain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then you end up losing things on the next level too.
You're telling me it can get worse?
Well, I mean, Southern Illinois was not a Power 5 opponent, no. I can tell you that. The first half, most yards given up by an SEC team against an FCS team in conference history.
Yeah, but the conference is not that old.
386.
It's a young conference. If you compare it to
it is relative to America.
Well, if you compare the conference to like La Liga or the English Premier League or something, it's very young.
SEC was what, 19?
Yeah, it's a baby.
34?
Yeah, not really not enough of a sample size to do things like that yet.
Don't think so.
I thought they really got a lot. I mean, I thought they really got a lot better in the second half, Chase. I thought there was really, really got in that locker room and fixed it.
Well, to their credit, I will say this. Give Matt Luke credit here. He admitted they didn't change anything scheme-wise, that it wasn't some eureka moment. When it had been really easy to be coach speak and do that, he resisted. I give him credit for that. Because
I read a lot into that comment.
Yeah, that was a shot across the bow.
There's a lot of spin coming today, boys. I mean, that's my opinion. There's a lot of spin coming. Bottom line is you can't play that way. And if you wait till halftime to fix it against Alabama, what's the kid, Mac? What's his name? The quarterback that Ole Miss.
Mac Jones.
We're going to see a lot of Mac Jones on Saturday, if that's the case.
Or Jalen Hurts, if you know.
A lot of Jalen Hurts. Tua's going to be over there. Playing with his hair in the second quarter. I mean, I'm telling you, man. I mean, I'm not trying to be like overly critical. I just know what I saw. What I saw in the first half, it's simply inexcusable. And people make the second half out like it was some dominant performance. They still put up 243,
I think.
243.
And averaged about 5 yards a carry on the ground.
I mean, stop. Stop with the whole, oh, well, it was really dominant. Yeah, you made some turnovers. You created some turnovers. You did. Credit to you. You picked up a couple of balls on the ground, interceptions,
etc. Kept them out of the end zone.
Kept them out of the end zone. You did good things. But the reality is what happened in the first half can't happen. It just can't happen. And if the people that are, well, you know, I tell you what, they finally woke up. Y'all really fixed it. What'd y'all do, man? It was impressive. Really? It just, sometimes the spin on this beat blows me away. I've never been around, and I've covered Alabama and Auburn, man. I've never been around so much spin. The bottom line is, and everyone, I guarantee you Matt Luke knows it. Promise you. Because he basically said it.
Yeah, Matt's not really one for spin.
That can't happen again. Let that happen again, and I'm telling you, there's going to be a different conversation that occurs. That can't happen again. Because most of the time you can blame this on talent, and Ole Miss has a talent issue on defense. If you needed Saturday to see it, now you see it. If you still are saying, well, there's no talent issue, you're just a fan, and it's okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. Chase and I had this conversation yesterday when I was waiting for Carson's game to start. You can be a fan of something, of a team, and still see its flaws. Like for me, I love the Cubs. I mean, if you were in the room right now, you would understand just how much I love the Cubs. The Cubs aren't good right now. The Cubs aren't going to the World Series. That bullpen's flawed. Their lineup is flawed. Bryant's hurt, et cetera, et cetera. If you look at this Ole Miss team on defense, you see there's a talent deficiency. Look at their linebacker core and break it down. Everyone right now is saying that Kevontae Ruggs is the best linebacker on the team. Kevontae Ruggs has played one quarter of college football. He's played one quarter. Willie Hibberler was a converted tight end. Dietrich Bing Duke started his career at Georgia and they let him leave. Who am I? Jacquez Jones looks good. He's a true freshman.
Jacquez Jones graded out as the highest Ole Miss player on Saturday by 5 points. He was like a 91 or something on Pro Football Focus on Saturday.
Momo Sanogo played okay the other day. He had a bunch of tackles. He's out there a lot. He's one of the few people on that defense in the defensive alignment who gets in the right spot play after play after play. But he's not the most athletic linebacker. Josh Clark's not even on the field. Zy Baker got exposed in space Saturday. He just did. That was not Tua Tagovailoa playing quarterback. Nothing against the young man who was playing quarterback for Southern Illinois, but he's not playing in the NFL. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, he's a nice player. He did some good things, but he also floated balls. They haven't played a good quarterback yet. And good quarterbacks are coming. One's coming in 5 days. Hell, two are coming in 5 days. But Tua Tagovailoa is the deal.
You really like him.
I love him. I think two of the three best, well, it's a really good quarterback league. Two of the four best quarterbacks in the league will be on the field Saturday.
Yeah.
I love Locke. Locke is great. And Stidham's a really good quarterback.
Yeah, Stidham is not the other guys. He's a step down. There's something about him that just keeps me from going, he's just – something.
To me, Locke's the best quarterback in the league. And then Tagovailoa and Tamu are right there. A step down from Locke. Locke's special. You know, you watch NFL on Sunday, you could see Drew Locke playing in the NFL quickly. But there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the league. The kid at Texas A&M was terrific the other night. Mond.
Yeah.
He was really good. You know, whatever. There's good quarterbacks in the league. But Tua Tagovailoa is a difference maker. He can hurt you with his arm, with his feet. He's very accurate. And he competes. And they're going to look at that film, man, and they're going to come after that linebacker core Saturday. I said there's soul searching to be done. And I don't – you have to play a level of perfect on defense on Saturday to have a chance. And I don't know that this group's capable of that.
Just got to have – kind of havoc play after havoc play after havoc play. I mean, fumbles, turnovers, balls knocked to the ground, that kind of thing. So let's get into the lines for the week here in a second. As we move forward on the show. By the way, you see Boston College is averaging like 600 yards total offense. I thought they were the team that just plodded along. They must have something different going on. I saw that.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I just happened to notice that yesterday. All right, looking at lines for the week. Kentucky plays Murray State.
Kentucky!
Got the win.
Look at the Wildcats. I was happy for them. I really was. I was happy for
Mark
Stoops.
I was happy for them. I will say this, though. We discuss this all the time. People roll their eyes because I've said this every single week. If you're watching the game, you automatically are going to pull for somebody, just not giving a crap, but just there's somebody you'd
Human
rather
nature
win. Yeah. You're going to
pick a favorite.
Maybe it's a helmet. I mean, whatever. You're going to like one team over the other. I was pulling for Florida. I was pulling for Dan Mullen on Saturday.
Why?
I don't know. I just was kind of like, you know, I kind of like to see Dan win this one. Like something about him at Florida, I just feel like fits where he sort of becomes kind of likable.
Well, he looks so happy.
Yeah, I mean, it was just sort of, and I mean, maybe it makes me a bad person. I kind of liked that streak, like of them never winning. So I thought, let's just let this continue. This is fun. I like the fact that Kentucky has not beaten Florida since Top Gun was in the theaters.
Well, when they came back and scored, Florida did, and made it a one-score game.
Because you know those butts were so tight Kentucky. Yeah. The entire crowd's going, is there a way in the world? Because, like, Kyle Tucker covers Kentucky for somebody now. I don't know, because Texas City Country died. I don't know. Somebody.
Yeah, whatever.
He was like, this would be the worst one, right? And it's like, yes. If Florida goes down with that dude at quarterback and scores in the last 15 seconds or something, this would be the worst one. You are correct.
The Mississippi State fans so angry at Dan Mullen. You guys are petty as hell. You guys are the literal worst on this. That dude took over your absolutely dormant, wrecked program. It was the state was a non-factor. Dan Mullen took it over, essentially dominated Ole Miss early on, ended up with a really good record. Took you to one bowl game after another, after another, after another. Ran Houston Nutt out of the state. Outlasted Hugh Freeze. Likely came up with the scheme that put Ole Miss on massive probation. And stayed almost a decade before he left. And you're mad at him for leaving? Petty. So petty. That guy checked every box you have for the better part of a decade. He checked every box you've got. He got Ole Miss to,
at least in the beginning, became a caricature just for your benefit.
For your benefit. Because if you think he cared.
Might have cared later. Didn't care at the beginning. Cared later.
But he got Ole Miss. I absolutely think there was a conspiracy and he was a part of it. And hey, you know what? From his perspective, it was his job.
Yeah.
And you all, you're being really petty. You are the average to below average looking guy that the supermodel stayed with you for the better part of 9 years and let you take pictures. Like, you got videos at home. I mean, she finally moved on, but she stayed much longer than anyone ever thought she would. And left you in decent shape. She bought you a facelift. She got you all fixed up. You're going to be okay now. You're not going to have to date the girl from the trailer in Pontotoc. You're going to do okay. It's petty. Oh, man, you're so petty. So from that perspective, I kind of hated to see Florida lose, too. The pettiness of that game coming up in Starkville is going to be so bad.
I mean, I get some situations are reversed here. But in some ways, this is almost kind of like Wozniacki continuing to be really pissed off at Rory after this amount of time.
Yeah. He put you on the map.
Now, you got him in shape. I'll give you credit.
Yeah.
But and Dan needed state. There was a cumulative deal there.
But he did his part. Yeah. You got your money's worth out of Dan Mullen at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
He got Ole Miss on probation. He did it.
Like a really socially acceptable Jackie Sherrill all these years later.
I mean, from a state perspective, when he shows up for that game in Starkville, you should do a video tribute. You should put his name in your ring of honor or whatever it is that you have. I'm totally serious. There should be, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Mullen and 55,000 cowbells ringing for about 2 minutes. I am completely serious. Anything less than that is petty as hell. Honor the man for what he did for your program.
You know they're not.
Oh, no. They're going to boo him and they're going to win the game, state is, and they're going to treat him like crap because they're pissed off that he left.
And if Dan's smart, he's going to go, I built that over there. That's what I'm building here. Oh, see? See?
Exactly.
See? Except we're a lot better. We've got more resources.
So I kind of – some people criticize what he said after the game on Saturday.
I thought
it was good. Take advantage of your opportunity.
You only get the honeymoon once.
When you're the first-year president, you criticize the last president.
That's
his fault. Last president knows that's going to happen when he walks out.
Yeah. I didn't do this. He did it. He created this mess.
He made this mess. This country's never been worse. I mean, it's a wonder.
Thank God you elected me.
I mean, you should see the dust balls in the corners. Whew.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Anyway. All right, take one quick break. We will get into the lines in a second. Kind of took a little sidetrack there. It's all good, though. Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing's in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understands your market. Kind of a big deal there. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford and the float down option. 662-234-2704. Or JLO, JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about it here on the podcast. You heard about it at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. If you happened to go to rebelgrove.com in the last, I don't know, 12, 14 hours, there's a lot of content up. Chase had a big Sunday thing. Russell had a big Sunday thing. I had a big Sunday thing. It's called 10 Weekend Thoughts. It's sponsored by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Real quick. Make two freaking leagues if this is a really problem. Kendall Rogers tweeting 30 minutes ago, hearing there's still plenty of momentum toward a paid third assistant in college baseball and softball, but still plenty of ADs out there fighting against it. If you can't afford a freaking third coach, drop the program or go play somewhere else.
Amen.
Create an A and a B for the NCAA Division I and have two playoffs.
I'll go further.
Yeah.
Have an A league and a B league.
And the A one has 3 assistants and 20 scholarships.
Yes. And then let the B one, seriously, let the B one have a B league College World Series.
Yeah, fine.
And put it in Little Rock or somewhere.
Who cares?
And who gives it? It'll be fine.
Yeah.
The kids will, it really will create more opportunities for more kids.
The FCS team that wins the national title, North Dakota State or whomever, they don't look up and go, my God, we're not Alabama. Who cares?
No, they've never once, when I've watched them win it, and we watch because it's December.
Yeah,
and there's
fine, whatever.
On, and they're like, so North Dakota and Minnesota Tech, what the hell? It's funny. I've never seen the kids who win start celebrating and then stop and be like, you know, it's not the Rose Bowl. When you go to a state championships, right,
yeah.
in Oxford or Starkville or Birmingham yeah. or New Orleans or wherever the hell you go, when you go to the Class 1A game, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I don't want to make fun of towns. I'm trying to use like Louisiana towns. It's like Homer versus Jonesboro for the 2A championship, and they're playing in the Superdome. Is it as good of a game as West Monroe versus John Arrett? No, but it is to those kids. It is to those kids. When they win the state championship, they don't go, we just wish we were 6A. Eh. No, they celebrate. It's a big thing. The cheerleaders come out and everybody hugs and parents cry and hug the kids and the kids take the pictures that they'll keep for the rest of their lives and they keep their jersey and all that stuff. So why not do that in baseball? I don't get it. Do the baseball thing where the programs that can't really afford it play at one level and the programs that can play up at another. Why is that so hard?
Yeah, over a three-week period, we've got in Omaha, LSU playing Ole Miss or whatever, and then over in Little Rock or Pawtucket or wherever you'd like to go, you've got Oral Roberts playing Dallas Baptist. Okay.
They'd be fired up about it, right?
Cool, fine.
I just don't get it.
I think Dallas Baptist would play up, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Monmouth.
Tennessee Tech would have won that bitch last year.
They would have won.
Yeah, big time.
Back in 14, ULL would have had a really good shot.
Yeah, I would have liked their chances.
All right, anyway. So, little Tennessee going to be back for another week. They were back last week after they beat East Tennessee State or somebody last
brick
week.
Brick by brick.
All those freshmen scored. I saw Tennessee's Twitter doing the thing where they introduced the freshman when he scored the touchdown to the checkerboard freshman. Real big on the checkerboard.
So special.
UTEP this weekend, they're 30-point favorites over the the UTEP Miners, I guess. Miners. So there's that. Moving on. We get Rutgers, Kansas this week, Neil. We get Rutgers, Kansas.
Kansas on a winning streak.
Kansas. 1-0 on the road since 2018.
Right. Unbeaten on the road this year.
They are.
Road Warriors.
Bobby Bowden probably not too happy with where the Florida State Seminoles have dropped. They are a 2.5-point favorite against Syracuse this week. That's different than it used to be in the past. Although Dino Babers done a really nice job at Syracuse. Speaking of Florida teams that have fallen off, Miami plays at Toledo this week. Who scheduled that? Miami, a 10-point favorite at Toledo.
The Hurricanes go to Toledo?
That is correct. Miami, Florida at Toledo.
That must be one of those like 5-for-1 deals.
Think so. I mean, but Toledo doesn't have anything for you to benefit from. It's not like when Ole Miss goes, well, we'll play Memphis and, you know, we'll get them in basketball and we'll do this. I mean, come on. By the way, guy that's about to low-key be getting fired, Larry Fedora. North Carolina has sucked. UCF in Chapel Hill this weekend. UCF a 14.5-point favorite over North Carolina in Chapel Hill this weekend. What?
Captain Andrew Luck on Twitter. Dearest mother. I'm sorry. I'm in a weird mood today. Forgive me. Dearest mother, the men move out today to begin our march toward Washington to battle the well-established indigenous unit. Word travels they have a particularly dangerous soldier who insists everyone know he was born in the year of our Lord, or simply A.D. Intriguing, Andrew.
Oh, God.
Is that referring to Kirk Cousins?
Well, I mean, that A.D., that'd be an... be a Peterson thing, wouldn't it?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that's an Adrian Peterson thing.
You're right.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota. Was Dan Goodlett yesterday. Alex Smith is in Washington now.
That's right. That's right.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
That's right. Cousins was really good.
Cousins was really good. Patrick Mahomes was really good in Kansas City yesterday.
If Cousins is going to be that good, the Vikings are going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because they're really good on defense.
Good division there. Bears. Lions are okay. Packers.
Yeah.
Vikings. Good division. But anyway.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Interrupted. I can't help it. I'm in a weird, weird, weird mood.
Vanderbilt on the road. The 2-0 Commodores after two blowouts. South Bend, Indiana this weekend. Vanderbilt at Notre Dame this weekend. What do you think the line is?
Vanderbilt at Notre Dame. I would say Notre Dame is a 12.5 point favorite.
Add a couple to it. Notre Dame minus 14.5 against the Vanderbilt Commodores this weekend.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard some interesting things about Vanderbilt. I haven't seen them, but I've talked to people who have.
I'm probably actually, just to try to be sort of knowledgeable, I will block out an hour and actually need to watch a couple series of Vanderbilt. I'm curious what they look like. I'll turn one of the games
on. I need
on.
To do the same thing. I have been told that they have been a very pleasant surprise on both sides of the ball.
LSU at Auburn, the other big game in the SEC this week. That is on the Plains. That starts at 2:30, I'm assuming CBS.
Yep.
The line is?
The line is Auburn minus 5.5.
You're going to need to double that. The Auburn Tigers are a 10-point favorite against the LSU Tigers on Saturday.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I'm really inclined to lay those.
It feels like a lay to me, too, but we'll see. I'm going to take a couple days for that one, let it marinate.
Feels like a lay, huh?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Duke, big win against Northwestern last week.
Cheated.
David Cutcliffe and those guys.
Cheated.
Talk about some line movement here. They're at Baylor this weekend.
Okay.
They opened as a 4-point Duke's quarterback's out. That's what it is. They were a 4-point favorite. Now they're a 2-point dog in Waco against Baylor this weekend. So 6 points moved on the Duke quarterback. Sneaky good game in Stillwater. Boise State at Oklahoma State this weekend.
That is a good game.
Yeah, Oklahoma State minus 3 against Boise this weekend.
I like Gundy. I can't help it.
You do kind of like Gundy.
Do you see the thing with the smoothie? I put it in 10 thoughts. That's great. Add some vodka to this.
West Virginia is a 3-point favorite over North Carolina State this weekend in Raleigh. This thing actually opened the other way. This thing opened with NC State minus 3 against West Virginia. Now West Virginia minus 3.5. I don't know if an injury happened there or what, but either way, I would have taken West Virginia and taken Will Grier even on the road for that game. Scrolling on down, Shea Patterson going to have another big day this weekend. They are at home against the SMU Mustangs this weekend.
Going to light them up.
Michigan minus 35.5 against the Mustangs.
Lay them.
You would lay them?
Oh, he's going to tear that up.
Big day against
SMU. Oh, he's going to destroy SMU. When's the next big game? Michigan State? Something's coming.
I think it's Penn State.
Yeah, that will be a different deal.
Different deal.
Yep.
I'm
gonna tell you, there's no quarterback better
against bad teams. Best in the country against bad teams.
He's damn good against bad teams.
Rough day on Saturday for the Arkansas Razorbacks, losing to Colorado State in Fort Collins. Really, really ugly, actually. Arkansas this week comes back home to play a North Texas team that's been slinging it around pretty good. I think they're actually number one in the country in passing yards per game. Arkansas 7.5-point favorites over North Texas in Fayetteville.
An assortment of very smart people tell me that take the points. That's free money.
Really?
But I just don't know, man.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I haven't watched a lot of Mean Green football.
No. And I tried to watch some of Arkansas Colorado State the other night, but I couldn't stay on it.
Colorado State, speaking of, they are in Gainesville this weekend against the Florida Gators, who are coming off the loss to Kentucky. They are giving 19.5 points to Colorado State this weekend.
I think they'll cover. I'm going to tell you, I think Dan Mullen, this will be an interesting week in Florida. This is going to be the week that he goes, I'm telling you, we got to do it a different way. He's had a little hard time getting those kids to work the way he wants them to work.
And that happens, and you got to figure out the right mindset, the right mentality to go about that. So
Dan Mullen did not look upset Saturday night. He looked like a guy that was like, well,
here we are.
Here we are. Going to be a certain degree of, for any time there's a coach that's changed like that, you got to get your kind of kid in. Takes a little while. Didn't take a while in College Station, but it's taking a while in Florida.
Inside his program, Dan not as dynamic as Jimbo.
No.
Doesn't carry the same swagger and stick that Dan does, that Jimbo does.
Can we skip to A&M for just a minute?
Sure.
People can say what they want to say. That was impressive Saturday night.
I'll go ahead and give you the line. They play ULM this weekend. They are 25.5-point favorites against ULM in College Station.
Well, they'll probably cover that line. Although I'll give ULM some credit. That was a really big program win to go to Hattiesburg and win. It really was.
In all seriousness,
all jokes aside, that was Matt Viator has done a really good job there.
Yeah.
And that was a big win. I mean, seriously, it was. Anyway, I don't think enough can be said for what A&M did Saturday. If okay. there is such a thing as a moral victory, that
well,
was
there's
one.
No doubt about that. They were chanting a guy's name as after a loss, which does not happen in the SEC at all.
They played differently than we see A&M teams
play.
Let
me ask this, though.
Okay.
With this team this season, now look, program-wise, they're going to be better. They're not going to be national championship better, but they're going to be better.
Right.
Was it a one-off where we put everything into 1 week and now we're going to lull for a little while?
Well, that's interesting because it's certainly possible.
You know, first year, you play above your head to an extent, and then it kind of – but they have talent. I mean, it's not like they never recruited over there.
That quarterback was really good the other night.
Kellen Mond's fantastic.
That was doing that against a defense that's talented, man.
It's just you dudes everywhere.
Yeah. So, and they get ULM now, and then I think they get Arkansas. They get some games they can keep building confidence.
Clemson still has some quarterback issues. I'm being a little critical on purpose here, but
well, no, but you're right. Clemson
and Jimbo has been around Dabo. He's going to be able to scheme Clemson more than most SEC teams would scheme Clemson.
They played really hard.
They did. That's kind of my point. Can you maintain
really,
that?
Yeah, and I don't know that you'll have to right away. Now you get to start playing with some confidence. They're going to win 8 games.
Yeah, probably. I think that's probably fair.
I mean, are they going to beat Alabama? No. Are they going to beat Auburn? No. Are they going to beat Arkansas? Yes. Are they going to beat Mississippi State? Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Where's it at? Doesn't matter. But
I don't know. I don't know that it matters.
Yeah. All right. Moving on down the page a little bit. What do we have here?
Who does State play this weekend?
ULL, I think. Alabama at Ole Miss. This one's been interesting because it opened at 22.5, Alabama over Ole Miss. I guess 23, so I was pretty close to that one. However, it dropped. It dropped down to 19.5 pretty quickly. Within the next couple of hours after that line dropped, which means two things. Heavy, heavy, heavy money came in early on Ole Miss, or Vegas is stockpiling Alabama money because they think Ole Miss is going to cover, one or the other, and I don't know which one yet.
This is why I would never be good at gambling. Because when you told me yesterday that line was down to 19, I wanted to put the mortgage on it. I don't know how Ole Miss stops them. I think Ole Miss can score points, but now is Ole Miss going to go put 76 on Alabama? No. 47 on Alabama? No.
56-38 covers.
Yeah, 38's a lot of points.
It is.
When was the last time Alabama gave up 38 points?
Probably to Ole Miss. Maybe Clemson. But, I mean, I'm just doing math in my head, though. 49-31 covers.
Yeah.
That's doable. 49-31 is a very likely final score of this game.
Ole Miss's offensive explosiveness is what stops you from wanting to lay a lot of points. They can score. I just question. Here's my question.
If you tell me Ole Miss plays above its head on Saturday, I buy it, which means the defense is 2 ticks better. Is that enough to do something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the problem you have with this game from a line standpoint.
Well, I do think they'll play better.
They will.
Because they're going to get their manhood challenged all week.
Yeah.
And McGriff knows. He does that 2 or 3 more times. He's out of a job. I mean, realistically, right?
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
I mean, you can't keep doing that. Yeah, I'm not betting anything on it. I can tell you, number one, because I'm covering the game, and that would be unethical as hell. But
it's not like Pete Rose. You're not changing the outcome.
No, but you know what I mean.
I'm messing.
It starts impacting how you write, what you write, and what you say, and
bloodbath in Athens this weekend. The Georgia Bulldogs hosting the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders on Saturday.
What's that line, about 47 points?
It's only 31.
Oof.
Vandy beat Middle by almost that.
Yeah, they did.
35-7.
Georgia, man. It was methodical Saturday.
It was methodical. It said a lot about both teams on Saturday,
I think. Well, we joke about it. That is Alabama East.
More and more by the day.
Yep.
ULL at Mississippi State on Saturday. State giving pretty much the same number. 31.5 is the line for that one.
So I sat in Tallahatchie Gourmet in New Albany.
Yeah.
Had a good time in New Albany. I did. Had a nice
Tallahatchie Gourmet is good. The Tanglefoot Trail is a very pleasant walk.
It was. It was pleasant.
Or whatever.
I walked
it's
it a little
good.
Bit. It was nice. I had some coffee. Had a nice 4 hours of solitude in New Albany. People were very, very nice. Every single person I ran into could not have been nicer.
Because they didn't speak to you?
No, people spoke, said hello. I mean, I was a stranger.
That's true. They didn't recognize you.
They didn't recognize me. Had somebody say, "Where are you from?" Which means we know everyone here. And you're not one. That's fine.
You're getting to a state point, I assume.
Yeah. I watched State and Kansas State. I watched an hour.
Okay.
The first hour.
Yeah.
Had to go to New Albany High School to get to Campbell. State dominated them at the line of scrimmage in a way that was difficult to ignore. Beat them at the point of attack, play after play after play. That is their style. It's what I know they got cute.
That was a perfect matchup for Mississippi State. An unathletic team on the other side that can't match up with you physically and isn't fast enough to beat you through the air.
Yeah. And State got cute a little in the red zone early because I think they wanted to experiment, in my opinion. But, man, they are a physical team.
It was a very confident road win for them. Kansas State's not very good.
No, they're not at all.
No, I mean.
But I don't want to take too much away from it because what Mississippi State has two games in is a very clear identity.
What State does not have is a guy who can throw the ball down the field. Fitzgerald is no better passing whatsoever, and that is going to bite them in the big games.
The other kid's a better passer.
Yes. That is going to bite them in the big games. Yeah. But they're going to win a lot of games in the process.
They're
going to
win a lot of games.
Kansas State is that team that, frankly, I don't know what style they beat because that style like that is going to beat the crap out of them. And then, like, had Ole Miss played them, they would have just aerated them to death for 60 minutes and beat them 65-28 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I agree.
It would have been ugly in the other way, too. Like, I just don't even know what Kansas State could do at this point.
It's what leads someone said, so you've seen them both play. What if you had to predict the Egg Bowl today, what would you say? I said, well, here's the problem. And this is my problem with Ole Miss, and it's all about their defense. Well, if Jordan Tamu is perfect, I like Ole Miss. But what if a couple of those balls get underthrown and you give up a couple of picks? What if you give up a pick six at some point? Are you good enough on the defensive side to overcome that? I don't know.
Yeah.
So far, my answer to that is no. And so when you say, okay, well, Ole Miss has a chance as long as Tamu is perfect. Well, that's not fair.
Yeah, not fair. Can't be perfect every day. We got 10 weeks for it before it matters.
I sure don't want to get into a...
No, let's not get into Egg Bowl right now. But anyway, before we get the rest of the lines, let me tell you that Oxford Wine and Spirit should be your home for alcohol purchase when you come in for game day weekends. Conveniently located close to close to campus on College Hill Road next to Lost Pizza. Neil and I are in there pretty regularly. Everyday price is 5% lower than industry standards. And if you're a podcast listener, you go in, you spend $150 or more, 5% off wine, 10% off liquor. When you mention the podcast, I got all the Cathead products and everything else you could be looking for. That's Oxford Wine and Spirits next to Lost Pizza on College Hill Road.
Guests, join us throughout the week on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Go to Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com, BILLIES pecans.com. The product is just fantastic. The cinnamon spice pecans, my favorite. The toasted pecans. They've got all sorts of chocolate pecans, whether it's milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, or the decadent chocolate Grand Marnier pecans. Those are all there as well. Cheese Krispies, peanut pecan brittle. It's just fantastic. Everything there is great. Billy'sPecans.com. Make sure that you tell them that you heard about it on the Oxford Exxon podcast. Or on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. It's 1-800-624-7404. We've been telling you about Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates for a while. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Many of you have friends or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are primarily worried about their credit score. For those, many times they refer people to Brian McLaren, another advertiser on the podcast. Sometimes people find the fastest way to rebuild credit is similar to what the Cubs did, the Astros did, tear it down, start over. That can be done for relief, for filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. But whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help make your decision for what is best for you. Search for Robert Gambrell on AVVO.com or on superlawyers.com or call him in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website. They have a great app as well. They're located in downtown Holly Springs. 662-252-2321 is the phone number. They deliver wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford as well with GNM Pharmacy on South Lamar, where they deliver local in the Oxford area. Missouri, the Tigers and Drew Locke on the road in West Lafayette, Indiana. Purdue coming off a really bad loss to Eastern Michigan on Saturday. The Eagles, who are usually the worst directional school in Michigan, they beat Purdue. Purdue is a 7.5-point underdog to Missouri this weekend in West Lafayette. Missouri minus 7.5.
I like it. Lay them.
You like Drew Locke in this one. Last year, Purdue beat the crap out of Missouri and Columbia.
Yeah, I think it's a different deal.
Okay. Big week for Jeff Brohm coming off that ball. He blows the close game to Northwestern. Now you look up, and is Northwestern maybe as good as people thought they were? And then,
well, yeah, Duke cheated.
Well, Duke cheated. There you go. Well, you hurt Duke's quarterback.
Well, that's what we do. We hurt people. We're okay. Northwestern.
Marshall at South Carolina this weekend. The Thundering Herd in Columbia for a game that Will Muschamp probably does not want to coach this weekend. Minus 12.5 is the line for this one with Carolina and Marshall. We already mentioned A&M and ULM. The Battle of Kentucky was Western Kentucky and Louisville this weekend. Louisville looked terrible last week, by the way.
What a shame.
Yeah, no, I hate that. Could have put Teddy B in last week. We'd have fixed things yesterday. Northwestern minus 21 against Akron this weekend, playing the Zips.
Kill them.
Last game without Urban Meyer, Ohio State minus 13 in Fort Worth playing TCU this weekend.
Ohio State apparently is really, really good.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've not watched any of it.
I haven't either.
And the games you will have on TV when you get home on Saturday night, Neil.
Oh, my God. We won't get home until...
You'll get the second half of a couple of these.
Really? We won't get home till midnight.
I'm just telling you. Washington at Utah.
Okay.
Arizona State at San Diego State.
Give Arizona State some credit.
Low-key good game there. Arizona State minus 3 on the road at San Diego State this weekend. Herm Edwards 2-0.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's going to work long term, but 2 weeks.
I have my questions, but so far it's looking good.
A lot of hot takes on new coaches so far. Herm Edwards is a golden child. Willie Taggart sucks. We're moving on down the list. Now I will say this for Taggart, though. He's got to prove something. I mean, you look at just the resume, it's pretty light. Not much there. We all like him. We all think he's going to recruit well. But from an actual wins and losses, it's pretty bleak other than 1 year.
Yeah. They've hired him to recruit at a really elite level.
They have.
And we'll see whether he does it or not.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's very true. So. All right, let's close things up just because I'm curious. You have any opinion on this whole Serena Williams thing as we're finishing?
You would know more about it than I would. I don't think that the chair umpire was in the right.
Well, there's two different things. Standard of how it usually plays out versus technically in the right are two completely different things.
Right, that's what I mean. There was a better way to handle that. That said,
there's no doubt that there's a lot of instances worse than this that have not had a penalty put to it.
Right.
It's also, just from a media standpoint, one of those keep it real moments, anything at all goes negative towards Serena Williams, and the media is going to blast that situation.
And call it racist.
Or sexist or right. Whatever. But, you know, Serena... Pretty hot-headed. I mean, she was in a U.S. Open a few years ago and told a chair umpire or a line judge she was going to stick a ball down his throat. I mean,
That would hurt.
It would really, really hurt, yes. But no, she's, I mean, fiery. She escalated it much worse than she should have. Now, here's Tennis's problem. Because, look, she first started kind of losing her mind when they gave her a violation for coaching. And, look, well, that's a stupid rule. The coach admitted to coaching. So.
You can't coach from the stands, right?
No, your coach cannot coach you from the stands in tennis.
Okay.
Stupid, but nonetheless, that is a rule.
Do most coaches sort of do it?
Yeah, there's some signals and stuff. I mean, you know, you got to be careful, but yeah.
Okay.
She escalated it past that point. She demanded an apology. It could have been de-escalated much better than it was. Instead, it was turned into. You got a lot of people that say, "Well, you can't make that call right there." I do get that, but I hate that too. Either it's a penalty or it's not. I hate the situational stuff because
it's the one thing I hate about the NBA.
Because if it's a penalty, it's not fair to the opponent.
It's the one thing I hate about the NBA. Well, it's a foul with two minutes left in the first quarter, but it's not a foul.
Yeah,
in the
so
last
you get that in NCAA tournament games all the time. They go, "Well, you can't call that in the last possession."
Is it a foul or not?
Yeah.
I mean, if I can't call it now, don't call it at the beginning either.
It's like I've got a couple buddies that drives them crazy when late in games. Referees, when they're trying to spot the ball, will run with it. And it's like, well, you don't do that any other time of the game, so suddenly you're really trying to help the offense get in play? I mean, one way or the other, either run all the time or don't run at all.
Right.
One or the
consistent.
Other.
I'm good with consistency.
So, no, it's been – this arena thing is very complicated for something that shouldn't be complicated. But media looking for any way to use certain hot topics right now is a thing. So
speaking of hot topics.
Okay. I have no idea what you're doing.
You really don't, do you?
Uh-uh.
What did you think of Miss America pageant last night?
I did not watch it. I saw that the two Ole Miss students did not make the top 15. One of them, by the way, was actually going to be our intern last year and never responded to a second email. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm glad you lost.
One of the Ole Miss students that was in the Miss America pageant last night, Christina Williamson, I think was her name. She was one of the people we had approached about an internship last year, responded the first time, and then when I followed up, I never got another response. I saw her picture yesterday and was like, oh, I'll be crap. That is who
Blonde?
That is. Yeah. Yeah, that was her. Last year, well, I tell you what, I mean, no offense to her because she might have been fantastic. This might have worked out really well. I think, actually, she might have been the first name given to me the year Chandler did it. So it actually might have worked out really well because Chandler was awesome. But that's what I think. One of the two.
Yeah, Chandler was great.
Yeah.
So that worked out good for us.
Yeah.
So anyway. She was Miss Tennessee?
That sounds right, yeah.
Christine Williamson. I was spelling it incorrectly.
Yeah, that was her. That's her. I saw that looks apparently no longer matter, which is funny because I still saw 50 Barbie dolls up there. But I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, like, I mean, can we be real for
a
minute?
Miss Arizona next year is not going to be obese up on the stage. She might be a really nice person, but come on.
Let's be serious.
Well, I am being serious.
And I have two daughters. If you're raising your daughter, telling her, or your son for that matter, telling him or her that looks don't matter, that appearances don't matter, you are lying to your child. Of course they matter. Now, is it the end-all, be-all in life? If you're a gorgeous girl, does that mean you're going to absolutely be a success?
No.
No, you could
be a train wreck. There are examples.
There are lots of examples. If you're a great-looking guy, are you necessarily going to become the CEO of a Fortune 500 company? No. You do have to have a certain degree of brain power. But if everything else is even... If it's me and another guy, and we're competing for a job at Coca-Cola.
You and Cliff Kingsbury walk into the room.
And we've got the same resume and the same skill set. He's getting the job.
Unless he has zero personality and you're really funny.
But if we're basically the same,
yeah,
he's getting the job. And that's life.
When they send some dude to the conference, they'd rather him walk in with their name on his chest than you.
I did an interview with Jordan Tamu on Saturday night.
You did?
We joked about this in the press box. I don't need to be on the same screen with Jordan Tamu. Jordan Time was a really nice-looking young man.
Yeah.
It's going to all work out for him from a look standpoint. Now, do the looks make him a good quarterback? Of course not. He's got to have skills. He's got to have a personality. He's got to have brains. He's got to have more. He's not going to get by on nothing but looks in life. But let's face it. It's going to get him in the door. To sit there and tell girls out there, shape all shapes and sizes and whatever, okay, but you're kidding yourself if you're saying that an obese girl is going to have the same career opportunities. It's going to be the exact same career path as Christine Williamson here. You're out of your mind. Now, does that mean they need to be parading around in thongs up on national television? Well, probably not, but let's keep this real. That's all I'm saying. We're going way too far with some of the political correctness stuff.
Is there really a push by a certain group for Miss America to not be what, I mean?
Well, apparently there is. I mean, they've made a big point of it because it was on.
No swimsuit.
No swimsuit. And instead of just saying, hey, we eliminated that. Well, here's why we eliminated it. And we're going to be magnanimous about it. Stop.
Your entire organization.
It was, the whole thing was built on the swimsuit competition and then the evening gown thing, and then they came down to talent. And you had to.
Apparently, some girl made the top five last night that couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But
well, there was some bad singing. I was in here watching Bears Packers.
Yeah.
And they were in there watching Miss America, and it was. Oof.
Yeah.
Some of the singing.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean. In years past, Laura would have watched Miss America to its conclusion. She hit the off button last night.
They still do the There She Is in the song?
I don't know. Yeah. We didn't make it that far.
Just curious. All right. Plenty of coverage at rebelgrove.com. Back tomorrow.
Your loss,
podcast.
Christine.
It was,
your loss.
Coverage of Matt Luke today at 11:30. His press conference, Quick Hits, will be up at rebelgrove.com. Talk to you soon.